Father, thank you again for calling us out of the world, out of darkness, to be your people, people of the light, people who reflect your light. And we confess that we need your help in being faithful to our calling and to our mission, to our worship that you've given us. And we need your help, the help that comes from your Spirit, as we discuss today how to be the church, how to live together as the body of Christ, how to live in the world as the body of Christ, how to live before you as your people. Guide us, help us, have mercy on us, and give us insight and wisdom and fruitful discussion. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, this is going to be different, hopefully. Interesting. It's going to be interesting. This is my, the most exciting one for me at this point coming to it. Maybe I would have thought that each week, but maybe the most important one, though, in some ways, what we're going to discuss today. And before we jump into this, I want to say that the goal today is not to have all of, I would say, our questions answered at the end of this time. This is not a one-stop shop sort of lesson. It's not a one-off, and that's it. What I'm going to introduce us to today is something that we're going to continue to talk about in various ways, in various venues, and as we refine what we're doing, who we are, what our mission is, what it means to be the body of Christ, to be a Spirit-filled church. Some of these things on here are ideas that I've talked with some of you about, very few of you. These are some ideas that the elders that we've been discussing to one level or another. Not everything on here has been ironed out in meetings. Some of this is just as I've been thinking through and reading, listening, talking to you, talking to my wife, and thinking through what it would look like for us to grow in Christ together. This is what I've come up with at this point. And this is how I think it should look for us. And this is how I think the biblical principles should play out here. So we're going to talk about what those principles are. We're going to talk about flow and steps and how it's all going, how the process is going to work. But there are going to be unanswered questions. We're going to come back to this. I envision probably coming back here in 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes, but I envision coming back for our last. We were going to have six. This is the fifth one. So next week we won't meet here because there's going to be a concert at this time. But the following week, 2 weeks from today, we'll come back. I envision. Follow up on this. Maybe some of your questions that I don't have good answers to will spur me on to think, spur the leadership on, spur you all on, and we'll come up with more ideas. So this is a vision, but it's also a discussion. And so I want feedback. And there will be things that I'm not going to say right up at front, and you're going to be, well, how's this going to work, or how's this actually play out, or how are we going to implement this? Those kinds of questions I want to come up in your minds, and then maybe at the end we can talk about some of those questions and flesh them out, come up with some answers and solutions together, or I can offer some things that I've been thinking about that maybe I won't share. Maybe I won't share them today. We'll come back next week, share them then. So hopefully that gives you an idea of what we're doing. And what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to start a conversation that is led, that is directed, that is has been thought through, that does have ideas behind it, but it is a discussion nonetheless. What we need, I think, as a church is to come up with a way or a process, a vision for growing in the Lord, growing spiritually, growing together as a body, and moving forward in our growth as individuals and families, and ultimately as a body of Christ. So that process, that growth in godliness, that growth in grace, should include everything the Bible has to say about what it means to be the body of Christ, in particular some of those things that I talked about today in the sermon. We need to talk about the Word of God and fellowship and meeting in homes and breaking bread, those type of things. But how does it all work together? And what comes first? What are the priorities? What comes second? What comes third? And we need to try to figure out together what the Bible has to say about how God moves His people from glory to glory. And that's the verse that I decided to use as the heading at the top of your handout there. You'll see the title of this is From Glory to Glory, which is straight out of 2 Corinthians 3. Subtitle is The Transformation Process. That's spiritual transformation. That's the word used in 2 Corinthians 3. The Spirit is transforming us, reforming us from glory to glory. So we're here, and tomorrow we should be here where there's a greater degree of glory. And then there's more glory the next day and the next year. And so what we're going to be talking about, what I want us to think about, you all to think about, and for us to talk about is how do we go from glory to glory? How does God bring us from glory to glory? And what's our responsibility in participating in the process of moving from glory to glory? And that means there are different levels of discussion, right? Ephesians 4 says that God gives the church pastors, leaders, elders to think about these things and to train the saints. But then it says right after that that the equipping of the saints is for them, for everyone to go out and do ministry. And so there's a leadership side to this, but really this is a discussion, a church-wide discussion, a church-wide mission, church-wide responsibility. And we will all have to be coming up with ideas. We will need to be encouraging one another, exhorting one another through this process that we're going to be talking about. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're becoming more like Jesus, the image of God, and that is a movement from glory to more glory to more glory, and so on. And the other thing that we need to be thinking about before we jump into this, just trying to get, you know, the bird's eye view here. We need to be thinking about how we invite people into this process, starting with unbelievers. So this is a process that we are going through ourselves, but it's also a process that we will want to invite people into, right? As we evangelize, as we share the gospel, as we actually do the Great Commission, which includes baptizing and then teaching converts, those who repent and put their faith in Jesus. What do we tell that person? How do we disciple that person? Well, it should look the same as it looks for us, the way we are discipling or we are being discipled, the way God is discipling us and moving us from glory to glory is how He's going to move new believers from glory to glory. And so the sort of the end of this process, or the third step in this process, as we'll talk in a minute, has to do with outreach, mission, evangelism. And that's bringing people into this process, bringing them into our worship and moving them through. So let's talk about how I organized this and tried to think in terms of biblical categories, biblical language. We want to stick to the scriptures. We want the Bible, we want God to tell us how to do this. So this handout is obviously not inspired, except for the part that is inspired, of course, where I'm quoting Scripture. But the way I've organized this, the way I've laid this out, maybe we could call it packaged it, itself is not inspired. But I think it is in accord with biblical principles and biblical patterns, the way Jesus discipled and brought people along as he called people in, and then he grew them, trained them, and then he sent them out. There are a lot of patterns like that. The Great Commission itself is reflected in this pattern that we're going to talk about. So the way, here it is. So here, let's just get down to the brass tacks here. The way we need to be applying what I talked about in the sermon today, Acts 2:42, living together as the church, being the church, can be talked about in three steps that the Bible talks about elsewhere. Loving God, loving one another, and loving the world. That is a summary of really my entire sermon today. I should say a summary of Acts 2:42-47. That's a good summary, really, of the gospel, the New Testament, what it means to be the church. God calls us out of the darkness to love him, to worship him. And so another perspective on those three steps, on that process, as we move from one step to the other, another perspective on that can be worship, fellowship, mission. And that maybe is seen more explicitly in our text today. That's what the church was doing. And I didn't talk about the mission part. We're going to come back in a couple weeks and talk about the mission, the evangelism, how the Lord was adding to their numbers and how that was working and why and how God was doing it through this church. But you can see they worshiped, and flowing from that worship was fellowship, all kinds of different fellowship. And then flowing from that fellowship was mission. One of the things we need to see here is if we are not doing these sorts of things in that basic order, if we're stuck on one, if we're not being faithful to one, then the flow kind of stops. And so if we're asking, well, maybe we're weak in mission, loving the world, outreach, well, let's back up. Are we really loving one another? Is our fellowship as rich and vibrant as it needs to be? So let's start with step one and talk about that first step or principle in the process of growing. Now, there's probably a lot of questions in your mind, like what, you know, especially with steps two and three, what's this mean, though, on the ground? I'm going to ask you just to, those are great questions, and we need to get to that. This won't be fruitful at all if we don't actually get to talking about those types of questions and come up with good answers. But let's just hold off for now on that. So step one, loving God. What's the greatest commandment? What are the two greatest commandments? Love God, love your neighbor, love each other, love one another. Yeah, those are all good answers. So these first two steps, really I think all three steps fall into that, because loving your neighbor really includes loving your brother and sister in Christ, but also loving those outside our fellowship, even outside the body of Christ. So the two greatest commandments are really what we're talking about here. That's another perspective on this. The biblical mandate to love God and to love people. So let's look at the first one. And I quoted from a handful of passages in each one. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is really at the beginning, the heart, the core of the Christian faith for the individual is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. John 4:23, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said. Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. I'm just giving short phrases or even summaries from these passages. You can go to these passages, and I encourage you to read them in context, read the whole paragraph that they're in, or at least the whole verse, as you're studying this and thinking it through and trying to figure out what it means to be caught up in this process of moving from glory to glory. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I talked about that at length at the end of my sermon today. Being committed to worship. And then finally, fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. So this is just a sampling. Of course, I could have quoted more. I was trying to keep it to one page with some space, with some white space in here. But we could probably all agree, number one is probably the easiest. Step one is the easiest, right? It's probably the one that we know the best and do the best, or at least can talk about better than the other ones and know what it means, at least. We love God. We worship God. We have a high view of worship, meeting together on the Lord's Day. We have a sense that, yeah, the Christian life does flow out of what happens here together as a body before the Lord, as we are in His presence, being fed by Him, being forgiven by Him, being spoken to by Him, receiving His good gifts and responding with praise, with the prayers, with singing, eating at the table that He's prepared for us. We know this is at the heart of the church. It's at the heart of the kingdom of God, what happens on the Lord's Day. And we're right. That's correct. That is the biblical understanding of worship. But we also need to remember that it flows out. And so we go from here loving the Lord above all the other 6 days of the week, putting Him above everything else. So we love God. And that's the main way we express that in terms of a public way or routine way is the Lord's Day worship. Step two, the second greatest commandment, is to love other people. And if you're loving God, you will love other people. These go together, right? You can't love God and then not love people. And if you really love people the way you ought, then it's flowing out of a love for God. And so our love for God should feed into love for people around us, for our neighbors, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And here, step two, the focus is on our brothers and sisters in Christ, because the Scriptures place a priority on our service to and love for and care for one another. After all, one of the verses we'll read is that the world knows us, the world that we're supposed to love as well. They know us and our love and the gospel. They know about Jesus. They find out about the good news by the way we love one another. That's a witness. Our initial witness to the world is our love for one another. John 13:34 and 15:12 say to love one another as I have loved you. And I put that verse first because it reminds us that our love is a response to God's love. God loves us first. That enables us to love Him and then to love one another. All people will know you, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13:35. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Romans 12:13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. Not only, Philippians 2:4, not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. These are obviously fragmented sentences here, but you get the idea. Most of these verses you have maybe even memorized or are very familiar with. And finally, Hebrews 6:10. God will not forget the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's about God not forgetting remembering our acts of love and service for one another, for those who are in need. And so, let's stop there and think about this. If we're going to be Spirit-filled Christians, if we're going to be Christians who are doing what God's called us to do, obeying the Bible, moving from glory to glory, we're going to love God. That's going to manifest itself in all kinds of ways. People are going to see that God is at the core, the center of us. But we're also, it's going to manifest itself in public worshiping and meeting with God's people in the most important time of the week to worship God. So we're going to love God, but then that's going to flow out. And we're going to be finding ways to love one another. The Spirit that brings us to God, the Spirit that gives us faith in God, the Spirit that enables us to love God, the Spirit that called us out of the world into the light, drove us to God, is the same Spirit who drives us out to each other, to love one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. It drives us into one another's lives. Just as he drove us into the community of God, that's what it means to be saved. God moves you out. The passage that we read for the assurance of forgiveness today from Colossians, it's about being transferred from one kingdom to another, one domain to another. And when he drove you out of one domain and into the domain of God, he drove you into the community of God as well, the community of humans who are God's people. And so we as a body need to be figuring out ways to do that, to enter into one another's lives. So we're going to come back and talk about how that can look, maybe how it does look in some ways. We can talk about where we're falling short, where we're doing well. But let's move on to the third. Let's stay kind of theoretical here just for a minute and go to step three. Love the world. We love God. We love one another. And that's in the Spirit who drives us to God and then into one another, drives us out into the world. So we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world, not members of the world, not finding our identity in the world, but in the world, truly. That's where the Spirit drives us out to carry out the Great Commission that we quote, that we hear every week. So let's read these verses, this sample of verses. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, Matthew 5:44. And that's a strong one to start with. Of course, not everyone in the world is our enemy. That's not the point there. But if we're supposed to love our enemies, if we're supposed to pray for even those who persecute us, and to do good to those who hate us, he goes on to talk about blessing those people too in that verse, if you go read it. Luke has a verse like it too. If we're supposed to do that sort of thing to the enemies in the world, how much more to those who are not persecuting us, not our enemies in the sense that this verse is using the word enemies. Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you shall be your servant. All right, so this is about service, serving others, serving the world. Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So when the Father sent the Son to the world, he sent him to the world to serve the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Romans 5:8, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Finally, Romans 5:10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of Jesus. And so loving the world, getting out and actually loving the world, being sent out to love the world, is really doing what God has done. And that's why we are saved. We were his enemies. We were of the world before he saved us. We would still be if he had not rescued us from the world. And his love came to us while we were enemies. And so if we're going to imitate God, if we're going to be spirit-filled Christians, moving from glory to glory, doing the Great Commission, loving the way God loves, then we must be like God. We must be like Jesus in going out to the world to serve those who are outside of our fellowship. And so this is the pattern. This is the process. This is the movement that the Scriptures set up for us. Loving God, loving one another, loving the world. And I put down there at the bottom a very simplistic, what does this mean? Or how do we do these steps? Or what would it look like to actually move through these steps as a Christian, as a family, as an individual? Well, first, you come to church on Sunday. That's step one. And then you serve God and love Him the rest of the week. Step two, I put it here, get involved in some kind of small group. I've been encouraged to see some small groups crop up here and there. Some women's studies and some young men have been meeting together. We need to be doing far more of that. And this is one of the things that I'm going to be talking with y'all more and more about is small groups. I know we tried it before I came. We did that for a while. And the elders, we've been talking about this sort of thing and figuring out how it could work, how it would look. But we need to be doing something like that. Everyone needs to be in community at more than just the congregational level. You need to be finding ways, and we need to be providing ways for people to get plugged in to smaller groups in homes or at the church, whatever. But in smaller groups where there is accountability and intimacy, sharing things that you can't share even at fellowship over in the gymnasium after church. And so that's one of the key ways that step two needs to be fleshed out in our congregation. Is once someone is committed to attending on Sundays and is plugged in, then the next move is for us to find some kind of smaller community to get plugged into. And then the second half of that on the how to do step two at the bottom, how to do step two, get involved in a small group. These are just examples. The second part says, serve the church with your time. The other thing that we need to be doing as a church is coming up with ways, programs, ministries, whatever you want to call them, groups that are figuring out how to serve, finding ways to serve. We already have a lot of this in place, actually. We have things like the guys who keep us safe. The security team. There we go. Yeah. Security team. Things like that. Or our greeters at the door. That could be. We have sound guys that are committed to serving all of us by being, it's the same, handful of guys back there every week that are serving us, loving us. And those are tangible ways that the body of Christ can serve one another. And there are other things that we have going on that are within our body. People preparing for communion. Somebody gets me water every week. I don't know who exactly, but I'm really thankful for that. Those sorts of things. We have things in place, but what we're not good at is knowing about them, getting people plugged into them, but also I'm going to be encouraging all of us to be involved at some level there, to get involved with this over here or that over there, or to find a way that you can serve. And it's going to take some initiative on everyone's part, but it's also going to take some leadership and figuring out, okay, how can we lay this out better? How can we provide opportunities and encourage people and point people to things as deacons and elders, as the leadership and other lay leadership in the church, people who have experience in this, people who are doing it already without really a lot of recognition. So coming to worship needs to flow. When you come to worship, from that needs to flow out service. Service must be flowing from, that's what I'm trying to say, service must be flowing from your worship of God. So loving God must translate into loving one another in tangible ways. So those are some things that we can think about together. Some of you have, I've gotten ideas from you. A lot of you are good at that, at figuring out what needs to be done or what's, you know, what's where there's a hole that can be filled. So we need to be a team in figuring out what that is. But also, as leadership, we need to be encouraging people to move from glory to glory by actually intentionally loving the body. All right? And I don't think, you know, I don't think that is something that we emphasize enough right now. But then it can't stop there. So we're faithful in worship. We're faithful in loving one another. We're involved. We've gotten plugged in. We're in a small group. We're meeting in people in, you know, in our home, in your home. Those sorts of things that are in Acts 2 are happening in your life. You know people. You share burdens. You bear burdens. You confess your sins to people. You have a group of guys or gals or families that you meet with regularly, and you're studying the Bible. But it can't stop there, because if we're going to be biblical Christians, if we're going to be spirit-filled Christians, we're going to have to find ways to love the world. We can't just love God and one another. We have to love the world to be full-orbed Christians. And maybe this is where we're the weakest. I have written down here, Brandy and I brainstormed, just on ministries, programs, whatever you want to call them, that are inside the church. I mentioned some of them, security team, sound, you know, greeters. There's a dozen more that I have. Things that are ongoing, things that are maybe occasional. Music, musicians. I won't go through them all. But the list is longer for things that we have going on, things that people could volunteer to help out with. But maybe our outreach is our weakest, right? Things going on in the life of our church outside our body, outside worship, and outside our family. We do have some things, though, like feeding the blind. Merlene has been heading that up, and Jan, I know, goes regularly. And many of you have helped out at least one time. The pregnancy center, the Dolinghood neighborhood cleanup that just happened recently. Those are the types of things that I'm thinking of, but I think we need more. We need more ideas. We need more of us thinking, how can we share the love of Christ with those in the world who don't know Jesus, who need the love of Christ from the church? And included in that would be things like people like widows and orphans, destitute people, people who are, we call, down and out, maybe because of their own sin, their own failures. But how can we reach out to them, helping folks who need repairs in their homes or who need counseling, who need help managing their money or discipling their children? Those sorts of things that are, I think, our weakest. But if we're going to be spirit-filled Christians, like we see in Acts, we got to figure out how to do that. We have to be intentional about moving through this process, moving from one step to the second step to the third step. And it's not when you get to the third step, it's done. It's not like it's a constant thing, if that's not clear. It's a cycle. But this is how it moves. So, this is the first time we're going to talk about this, but not the last. And one of the exciting things that's going to be rolling out, I'm confident of, I'm not saying too much about it, but is our small groups. We've been talking about some ideas on how that could look and how to make it work. The elders read a book together on a guy that spent 30 years figuring out the best way to do it and things like that. And so I'm excited about that, and I hope you guys are excited and see the need for that, for smaller groups meeting together in the Word, in prayer. I'm going to stop there and just see if there are any. I'm going to stop there for now. And a lot of this is going to be, in the nature of the case, it needs to be talked about a lot. It needs to be fleshed out and discussed formally like this and informally. And then as time goes, we put things into practice and this will make more sense. But tried within, you know, the time we had, it went a little over, but to just give you the big picture, the big idea, the overall flow of what I think the Scripture is telling us, teaching us to do, and how to mature as a body, what our vision should be as a body. Are there any questions or thoughts, comments? This could go anywhere. If you have any ideas or just clarity, right over here, James.
There's all kinds of things competing for our attention. I think we have to be very careful to stay in the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. This is our life. There's not a real big difference between loving the Scriptures, loving what God has said, and loving God Himself.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And that's one of the points from the sermon, too, is right at the center of all the fellowship, the personal devotion, the small group devotion, the worship together on the Lord's Day, at the center of all that is the Word of God, the apostolic teaching, the Scripture. And, we must not lose sight of that. And I think there are two tendencies in churches, two errors, two ditches, I guess. One is to be so focused on mission and doing and programs and all of this, that the Word of God is no longer central. Something else takes the center. Maybe it's a program or an idea or a handout, a process or something like that. So that's one tendency. I don't think that's ours, though. I think ours, we're strong as a whole, and at least, for the most part, on the Word of God, and in theory at least, if we know what we ought to be doing, we know the power of the Word of God. I think if we had to pick which ditch we're more likely to fall into, it's putting the Word of God into practice as the church, living out the mission that we see in passages like Acts 2. Living out the life of the church. And when it's working right, when it's flowing right, the Word of God's going to be central. But also you're going to see, just as you see in Acts, just as you see in the Jerusalem church, you're going to see all three of these steps are full of life, full of the Spirit's work. And so one of the things I want us to do is ask which step maybe are we the weakest in. We could strengthen all the steps, right? Always. But which step are we, which one are we getting caught, stuck in? I think it's step two. I think we need to grow in step two first, and then in step three, because step three is really our weakest, perhaps. But it's because we haven't matured enough in step two, maybe. Not that you have to wait until step two. It's not like that. We need to be growing in all of them all the time. But my point is, I think our weakness is doing the Word of God as a body. Maybe individually we're strong, but as a body, as missional Christians with who have an outward focused calling, maybe we need to beef up on that.
Just a clarification, if you want to flesh this out a little bit, honey.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Actually, I totally just lost my train of thought.
Don't get nervous.
That we're not just, you're not just encouraging busyness and we need to have a bunch of programs,
yeah,
but we need to be intentional and not do other things that don't fit in with this.
Yeah.
And spend our time,
yes,
first discipling our kids,
right,
but then also raising them to impact the world, that we're not just wanting to be busy.
Good point. That's another, so we can talk about tendencies, right? And maybe some of you have been members of churches that have, you know, 1,000 programs, and they're always, you know, for this age or that age or this, you know, place in life, this stage in life, and the programs take over, and that's obviously not what we want. I think we might be on the other end of that spectrum, though, where we don't have certain biblical, whatever you want to call them, things, activities in place in our church life. And we tend to be very home-centered, and a lot of us are in phases of life where that's going to be more the case anyway, being home-centered. But I think that maybe some of us are even reacting to that. And so we want to not be too busy, not let church life or church programs at least take over. And we certainly don't want to do that. But we need to figure out what it does look like, what kind of commitment level we do need to have with one another, and then jump in and do it and live it out. And if you just think about it too, Just think about the reality of our situation, how many people we have, how much facility we have, and just the moving parts. I mentioned somebody gets me water, somebody has to run the sound. There's a lot of more stuff, a ton of stuff. Somebody's got to do it. So we just at the very basic level need to be volunteering and helping out and serving one another and asking what needs to be done and not thinking that we're the only ones who are busy. And but then also being in each other's homes is a huge part of that. And so these aren't really programs so much as just life together. How does it look? How can we facilitate it? How can we encourage it? All those sorts of things. Yeah, thanks. Good comment. Sorry. Any other? Yeah, Kelsey.
I might be jumping the gun here, but you know, this was a lot easier to figure out when I was single,
yeah,
and didn't have a baby and all that kind of stuff, and a lot easier to be involved in things and stuff. So I guess what I'm asking is, how do you apply that to your life when your life is so at home?
Yeah.
And your responsibility is your baby and everything so mm-hmm. much. And
yeah,
it can feel like that's so overwhelming, it's hard yeah. to think of anything else.
Yeah.
So
that's a good question. And that's a hard one to answer. Every situation is going to look different, obviously. And those are good conversations to have, maybe one-on-one or in smaller groups or in private or with families, to figure out, okay, what does it look like for your family? What does your family need? Or how can this family or that family live out the Great Commission, live out the principles that we see in Scripture and be the body of Christ at this phase? It may not look the same as it used to look or that it's going to look, but I think a starting point that we can have, that we can all have, is that God is calling us to something beyond just coming to church on Sunday. So we can start there. Maybe some weeks, you know, I'm not. You know, that's all we can do. But as a rule, going years where you're not plugged in into the lives of other people, and other people are not plugged into your life, going long time like that is not healthy. So we can start there and say, okay, well, in this situation, I mean, some situations are more difficult than others. There's a lot of things to consider. There's geography for one. And some of us here are in, you know, pockets where there's a lot of people. Others of us, you have to drive a good bit before there's a family from our body. And so maybe in some of those situations, it'll be supplemented outside our body. That's fine. So there's all kinds of different directions that can go. But just start with the assumption that if you had been in Jerusalem and you had been caught up into this movement by the Holy Spirit, and you were in this Spirit-filled church, you would have wanted to be with people and meet people's homes and be encouraged and exhorted and mentored by other women, families, couples, kids, friendships, all those things you would have. And so if we lack that now, we need to cultivate it in our hearts. And then we'll begin to see how it could look. But that's a good conversation to have in a more maybe private setting. Yeah. Yeah. And if anybody else has any thoughts to that, this would be a great time, especially maybe a woman who's been there. Oh, Trudy.
One of the things that I was thinking as soon as you brought that up is we, not all of us have the opportunity to get together with someone during the week, but I know that you do sometimes. And when you do, make use of those opportunities to talk with your friend about what are you learning in the Word, yeah. what things are difficult for you right now, how can I be praying for you. You could memorize Scripture together. Just even in those small times that you have when your family is growing and it's hard to come by those times.
That's a good point.
That just make use of some things that are already in place.
Right. Even if it's not a formal small group or a regular time, even maybe it's occasional, but use those. I like that advice. And that really, one of the things that I've been thinking about is that our fellowship, even our just occasional or incidental fellowship, ought to be filled up more, I guess, with conversations that go beyond just the surface type stuff or the weather or how's your job. We need to be talking about the things of the Lord and checking on each other and digging into each other's lives in deeper ways. And that's hard for all of us. It's, you know, when you're not used to it, if it's not the way, you know, if it's not what you're, the patterns that your, you know, mind have been used to, then it's hard. Maybe it's awkward, but we need to be cultivating that sort of a thing. The other thing I'll say in addition to that is that it's easy to forget, if you haven't had it, how rich and important biblical fellowship is and how much we need it, how much you need it, I need it. And so you think, well, I'm busy, or I got this going on, or I'm already running around, or And you kind of think of it as an extra thing to tack on. And so many of the things that we've all been involved with have been like that. It's just an extra thing to tack on to the schedule. But if the goal is vibrant, Spirit-filled, Scripture-centered, God-centered fellowship, then if you experience that, then you'll realize, wow, I need that more than so many other things on my calendar or in my life. And so I also want to encourage people just to jump in or take a step. And especially in the coming weeks, as I'm hoping more opportunities will come up. And by the way, there are already opportunities. I talk to people often who are unaware that there are certain things going on that maybe they could benefit from, maybe groups here and there. I know some of the ladies meet with other ladies and younger ladies, and some of the younger men meet together and things like that. So, but we need more of that, more living with each other. Any other comments? Yeah. Do you need a mic? Okay. Could take a while. Well, it's going to take forever until Jesus comes back. Yeah, we move from glory to glory until we die. And the church moves from glory to glory until Jesus comes back. And so this is not, that's what I maybe want to make clearer. This is not, okay, figure out which step you're on and then get to step three and complete it. You check it off and then you're good. That's not what this is about. So the check, you know, people who like to check off lists, that's not what this is about. This is a cycle or a spiral upward. You know, you're always doing the steps over and over again and moving through them, growing in them. We are, you are, your family is. But this is what it needs to look like. All right, any other questions? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dan.
When you talk about the world in your mind, as far as proximity, I keep thinking proximity like around guy across the street.
Yeah.
And what percentage of the proximity in your mind is, when you talk about the world, is that...
Yeah.
In the equation for you?
No, I don't think it's an equation. That's going to be unique for everyone and how that looks. Some of us have neighbors. All of them are in the world in that sense. Maybe some of us don't have any. Right. I don't think we could box that up like that and say, here's percentage of, you know, people live a mile away from you, and you know, this is how much time you spend on that, or really ultimately this has application for world missions and the mission field abroad. But we need to start locally. We need to start with where God has us and the part of the world God has us in and the people of the world that we interact with, and that we don't interact with, that we need to be interacting with, that we need to be going to. And some of it has to do with gifts and opportunities and situation in life, background. I mean, there are all kinds of things that could come into play, I think. But, by the way, I went to the blind, Feeding the Blind with Merlene, and Jana was there, a few others were there. This past week, and that is a wonderful opportunity that's in place. The infrastructure is there. We need more volunteers, actually. There's a lot to be done. Merlene works hard on that. A lot of people to talk to and to reach out to. A lot of people that don't know the Lord. And that's a wonderful kind of packaged deal right there for us. And so if you are looking for an opportunity, talk to Merlene about that. So one of the things, as I close here, one of the things I hope that comes out of this, this is a unique feeling for me. I've never felt like this at the end of a lesson. This is, I don't know if anything communicated or not, but one of the things that I would like to happen is for ideas to start flowing, for you all of us to start brainstorming and thinking, how do we move out from our worship that we're good at, that we, you know, we have good theological worship, but how do we move out from there to serve one another and then especially serve the world, to love one another and love the world? Rob, did you have a comment? Rob, microphone right here. So I want you all to be brainstorming and thinking. Some of you are good at this. Some of you have a heart for this. Some of you are doing it. And this is not something that just is from the pastor or from the elders or from the deacons and the elders or anything. This is a body-wide discussion.
All I wanted to say was on piggybacking on the Association of the Blind thing, you going there, you mentioned about your children going there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just opportunities
That's
for
right.
adults, but families.
Great point. Yeah, I brought five of my kids, and it's really, really good for kids. They can help. They can be involved in real ways and serving and talking with these people. Most of them are blind. Some of them are helping them, but there's a lot of people to interact with. And bring your children. That's a great, yeah, that's one of the best opportunities I've seen in a while. That's just right there. So thank you. Yeah, bring your kids, help out with the blind. Microphone. I can give you this. Actually, it's tied to me. You got to be a rock star to know how to do it. Right here.
One thing that Grace Covenant did down in Arkansas, which was really unique that we hadn't experienced before, they really are good at trading gifts with each other. Not physical things, but just, like, I was a violin teacher, so anybody who needed lessons in the church, I gave them violin lessons.
Yeah.
And then there was a chiropractor, and he would pop us for, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was really valuable, especially to a lot of there's, you know, most people couldn't afford violin lessons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I certainly can't afford a chiropractor and, you know,
yeah.
that kind
Thank
of
you.
Thing. So.
Great idea. Yeah, we all have a lot of talents and gifts that we can share with one another. Yeah, good comment. So, well, since one more comment. Somebody raising their hand? Yeah. Oh, two more. Okay.
Just to carry the thought that was mentioned a while ago just a little bit further. Number one, there's no accusing finger being pointed here, but each one of us realistically is a missionary somewhere, wherever we go, be it work or be it someplace we go several days a week or something like that that you were talking about. The occasions come up.
Mm-hmm.
Who we are and what we are in those opportunities are the eyes that are the fingers that we're able to share with others. Not often or always what we say, but who we are and what we do brings up opportunities for people to say, how do you do that? Or how'd you do that? Or how does your family work like that? They hear little tidbits when you're talking to somebody else. And they, you know, hungry hearts trying to find a way, you know, will come and ask.
Thanks,
and
Tom.
Opportunities come up like
that. Yeah,
this.
That's good. I think that's a good point. And I would even say we need to I'm speaking for myself here, but look for more opportunities or create more opportunities and be more bold and maybe direct conversations and direct relationships better with an eye to pointing them to Jesus, sharing the gospel, caring for their souls more than we are worried about awkward conversations or things like that. Was there another comment over here?
I'm going to risk making a second comment, but I just want to address the mom thing, that it is really hard, and I don't feel like it ever really gets a whole lot easier, but that a lot of moms together could help each other. And there's if you can't do things out, just making meals for people or writing notes or saying, I'm praying for you, or there's a lot of things you can do just at your house, or you can have one mom stay home with the little ones and somebody else go do things, but you know, you get more kids and it's harder. And then grandmas, they say, oh, it's crazy. I thought I would have so much more time. But just we have to figure out ways that we can do it wherever, whatever phase we're in.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'm going to close, but if any of you have comments or thoughts that you'd like to share with me, I'm happy to talk with you, or if you want clarity, we'll continue to talk about this in the coming weeks and months. Let's pray. Father, help us to be a faithful church. Help us to shine the light that you've shown into our hearts and to share the love of Jesus, to share your love that you've given to us with one another and with those in the world. Give us courage and boldness, commitment and devotion to the things you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.